And Richard Medford has done some tremendous work on this. I've done work on it myself. I've been looking at these trends for the last 26, 27 years now. It has been 27 years exactly that I've been looking at this. That's a long time to be in a war. And if times I look a little battle fatigued, it's because I am. At any rate, we're close to the top of the hour. I want to join all of you for hanging in with me. We had a very healthy crowd in the chat room today. Jacob says, I've never seen such irrational hatred as that which is expressed by humanists, atheists, New Agers, and evolutionists against anyone who expresses a belief in the Bible or in God. Yes, Jacob, you are so right. There's plenty of this going on. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to Georgia Gal, Farmer, Don, Rudy. More bad news, Johnny No Global, and the rest of you in the chat room. And Tuesday I'm going to see if we can't get the person on talking about the Real ID Act, because that is a very real concern to us. And I think that things are tightening. I've always thought this thing was going to come down like a full court press in basketball, and that it would come at us from so many angles we wouldn't know what hit us. God bless us. God bless you for listening. May the Lord help us all, and join us again next Tuesday.
Usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, supposedly they're going to be the views of Mr. Edwards and his wife. Are you there by any chance? Well, I guess they're not here, so we're going to have to just go ahead on our own. Well, lots of exciting things are happening on the financial markets. So headlines today in the Wall Street Journal about one of the companies that was writing bond insurance. Now, a bond insurance is really a derivative, and they had about $60 billion in bond guarantees, bond insurance out there, and of course suddenly all these bonds are not performing, and they're responsible for it. And a major bond insurer here in the United States suddenly needs $60 billion. They don't have $60 billion. What do you do when you've written these derivative or these insurance policies and there's no way to pay for them? Well, I think that you begin to scramble and try to borrow money, but who's going to want to lend money to somebody who owns $60 billion? Ordinarily, of course, the rule of the bank is you never lend money to anybody who really needs it. Well, anyway, you know, you got to have a certain amount of equity to put up so that they can be sure that they're going to get their money back. Well, let's go to the Edwards, and we have actually a husband and wife here. Are you both there?
Yes, we are.
Indeed.
All right, fine. And, of course, then this is Paul and is it Sarah?
Sarah.
Paul and yes. Sarah Edwards, and they've written a book, but they were going to talk really about the implications of Bank of America buying up the Countrywide mortgage company. And, of course, Countrywide was worth, I think, $26 billion a few months ago, 6 months ago, and recently Bank of America bought it for $4 billion. You know, you go ahead and let's get your views on this.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because when we decided to write Middle Class Lifeboat, we knew that people were going to need to start thinking about how they might deal with the changing economy, but we had no idea how quickly this was going to happen. And I think that this Bank America purchase and of course what spurred it and spurred Countrywide's problems is something that's like a massive SOS for the middle class. That we need to realize that there's a lot of big changes coming along and that things are not going to be the way they have been. And they're also not something that is temporary. You know, this isn't something that's just going to, you know, it'll clear up a little glitch. It's a much bigger kind of, we call it a sea change in the book. There's a bigger change coming. And this is just one huge example of it, which, of course, Bush picked up on today with his news conference, and a huge, massive response to it has already happened. So we can see that it is indeed something big.
And, of course, what we also want to let people know, and this is what we found in the book, is that the news isn't always bad. In fact, what we found in people who were altering their lifestyles is they were genuinely happy about them. We found promising careers that are on the horizon that are things that some people have never heard of, like tabletop manufacturing, that could revolutionize factory work in the world and bring a lot of work back to the United States.
All right. Well, what did the president say today when he came up with some sort of a solution? But, of course, is this really a solution, or is this just going to compound the problem or put it off?
Well, what he did was he has initiated an economic growth plan that I believe he needs to have Congress's approval on, where he will be giving various kinds of tax relief in terms of something like $800 a person in tax relief. And
or $1,600 per household, which will help people, some people.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
All you men out there, you need to listen up. By the age of 60, one in two men already have a prostate-related health issue. What does this mean? It might be an enlarged prostate, difficulty going to the bathroom, and a diminished sex drive. Not a pretty picture. If you're a man, you need to give your body nutrition to support prostate health. There's no question about it. Many people hear this and they might think saw palmetto, but there's something so much better out there. It's called Beta Prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more healthy plant sterols than ordinary saw palmetto. So before you try anything else, try Beta Prostate. Ignoring your prostate's not going to make the problems go away. Taking Beta Prostate is guaranteed to provide effective, all-natural support. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. Call now and find out how you can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Dial 1-800-457-9914. Call now.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And our guest is Paul and Sarah Edwards. We're talking about what the president did. The president has come up with a plan for us. He's going to give us all more money. Now, of course, what he's going to do, where's the money going to come from? Did the president say where they're going to get the money? Because our country is having to borrow almost $2.5 billion a day just to pay our bills. Where's the money coming from?
Well, unfortunately, there was no mention of that made. We listened to the president's address, and it's going to come from where all the other spending that exceeds what we're bringing in comes from, and that's addition to debt, so it's a very short-term solution and not a long-term one.
Well, now, what about, is he going to offer some tax cuts, tax cuts perhaps for businesses, things of that sort?
He did say that he wanted to have no tax increases, which means, as Paul was just saying, that, well, I don't know where that money will come from, but he's offering tax incentives to businesses to expand, and he's attempting to go ahead and have all of the previous temporary tax things that he had put in place extended and made permanent. He was saying in the address that he wanted these to be temporary, but that's what he said about the last one, so I don't really know. And I do think that it's sort of a mixed bag here, because the more we go into debt as a nation, just as the more we go into debt as individuals, the more we compound the problem. But I do think that it's a positive thing that both Ben Bernanke and the president are noticing that the middle class is suffering, and they're taking some notice of us. But, you know, I don't think we can really count on them, Dr. Stan, to take care of our problems. This might help us, but we're still going to have to build our own lifeboats.
Well, no question at all. My concern is that everything they're doing is inflationary. They're talking about, of course, lowering the interest rates again, making credit more readily available, and that will, of course, increase the M3 levels, which, of course, they won't even tell us what they are, but they're 16-17%, and, of course, that means we're going to be looking at 16-17% inflation within a year if they continue doing what we're doing. It doesn't take very long at that before you just wipe people out financially.
And that's a grave risk. That there's no question that when you're getting an economic pinch, you're fighting between these two devils. You know, inflation on the one hand and recessionary pressures on the other. And
right now we have both.
To feed one may mean. Feed one may mean stimulating the other.
Well, of course, it looks to me like they're going to go the wrong way. They're going to, instead of, you know, letting companies go bankrupt and banks go bankrupt and accepting a recession for a period of time, they're going to try to prolong this, which, of course, down the line is going to result in the destruction of the value of our currency. And there's no way, better way to corrupt a nation or society than to debauch its currency, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, of course, our currency has already been devalued so substantially in the past couple of years. Well, I think that we are truly in a very dangerous. In fact, Bernanke used some interesting terms when he gave his announcement this morning. He talked about risk. He talked about falling values. He talked about investment slowing. He used the word inflation. He called the economy fragile. I mean, he talked about financial strain. I mean, these are all. They're not glossing over it at this point, which I found interesting, because up till now there's been a lot of glossing over that I know has surprised me, because it hasn't looked good to me for quite a while. But he wasn't glossing over it now, and, you know, so I think that we truly are in a situation where we had better be taking notice, and we'd better be kind of making some plans for what are we going to do ourselves. And that's what we wrote the book about, not even knowing. I know when I wrote it, when we wrote it together, I just didn't realize how quickly this might become a much bigger problem than we thought.
Well, of course, you foresee that they will, through inflation, really, really effectively destroy the value of our currency, or devalue it, you know, 80 or 90%. Well, I mean, certainly they've already lost as far as international affairs, you know, about 35 to 40% in the last couple of years. But, of course, that isn't necessarily reflected here, but although the prices are beginning really to go up. And I think people all across America are noticing how high food prices are, and bread and milk and dairy products. And then, of course, the price of gasoline goes up. And all this begins to impact upon people, especially if they have a fixed income.
Right, and what we were talking about mainly, one of the factors that's really causing us to need to be starting to take some action is the rising cost of basics, or the rising cost of essentials. And Bernanke did mention that this morning as well, food, gasoline. These are not things, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to get another T-shirt, or I'm not going to buy another large screen TV for the second room, but it's another thing to say, am I going to have enough heating oil to get through the winter? Am I going to be able to afford gasoline to get to and from? And these are like basic expenses that we've really got to start thinking about how we're going to restructure our lives to protect ourselves so that we won't be totally wiped out, as you were saying.
Well, how do you think that we should restructure our lives?
Well, I think we need to have a plan B. In many cases, some people are already acting, and that's, of course, the people that we interviewed to help us write about many parts of this book, which is in three parts, but at least we need to think about what our alternatives are. And sometimes the alternatives are actually things we'd like to do, like, for example, if the city jobs are not working for the real estate loan company aren't there, maybe it's an opportunity to move to a small town. Well, two out of three Americans say they prefer to live in the small town or the country.
Well, we have like a three-part plan. First of all, people need to come up with a way to secure their income, and that could well mean creating some independent source of income. If you have a job, of course, if you have investments that are working for you, then, of course, you need to keep those. But we may not be able to count on them producing, either being there or producing what we had hoped or expected. So some type of an independent income, and we feature 50 different ways that people can do that. Secondly, we need to look at the way we're living, and we've described 9 different lifestyles that people are choosing that enables them to escape some of the high-maintenance kind of lifestyles that we currently have, where you really have to bring in big bucks to continue paying your mortgage and paying your cost of living. And third, we have to look at perhaps additional ways to get the kind of things that we need aside from money, alternatives to cash that can make it easier for us to not have to work as hard and not have to earn as much.
All right, well, let's start with number 3. How would you get what you want if you didn't have to use money?
Well, actually, there are a lot of ways that, you know, we have been used in the past, but we haven't paid much attention to them at late because we've had such a booming economy. But they include, for example, bartering. They include creating co-ops, lending and sharing, doing exchanges and swaps. And, you know, because of the Internet, many of these kind of things, such as WeGiving networks that are all over the country, barter networks all over the country, or local things as well, you would be surprised at what you can find and get. And you don't have to spend anything or much, and some of it, as a matter of fact, doesn't have any tax consequences. And we describe each one of these, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think there's 9 of them.
What some local communities have begun doing, the pioneer for this is Ithaca, New York, is that they've created a local currency, which in one case, I know the bank there accepts it, and it stimulates the local economy, people trading with one another. So there are a lot of ways that the Internet actually has enabled some of these ways to become more automated, easier to do than they have been in the past.
Well,
you know, any small community can set up some of these things, right, even within their own community online.
Well, you know, with some people that tried to come up with Liberty Dollars, an alternative currency, they got raided by the feds. I mean, if a local community was going to come up with their own currency, wouldn't they perhaps get into trouble with the Federal Reserve System?
Well, as a matter of fact, not. It has to meet certain standards.
And you do have to pay taxes.
You do have to pay taxes.
That is one of the ones that is tax. You know, you do have tax on that.
But if you go look up Ithaca's program, for example, there is some specific rulings that are included mentioned that have enabled them to operate within the tax system. But it's permitted because it can't look anything like U.S. dollars, and in fact it has a distinct look, but they come off printing presses just like the dollars do.
I see. Now, this is Ithaca, New York. Is anybody,
anybody else use that?
That's
not the only community, but that's probably the oldest one.
It's the oldest and the most established.
I see. Well, now, how does it work? I mean, certainly, well, does it work parallel to the
it does. It works
the Federal Reserve System?
And the various commercial establishments decide to take both U.S. dollars and Ithaca dollars and sometimes they will say, like, take so much of a certain purchase in Ithaca dollars versus U.S. dollars. Some items you can be, come only Ithaca dollars.
But what's the advantage of this over a conventional currency?
It helps stimulate trading between local people. It encourages you to go to the local person who does, the local restaurant instead of the franchise. It causes people to do things that they might not otherwise be able to afford to do if they're able to exchange their labor or something that they can offer, whether it's babysitting or whether it's lawn mowing, in exchange for something that they want. So it acts as an economic stimulus in the community.
Yeah, it brings like control sort of back to your own local community. You know, so many communities now. A large percentage of the dollars in the community leave the community to go to the franchises or the large chains that are there. But in this case, with your local dollars, everything stays in your own local community, which helps to enrich and stabilize it.
All right. How many communities actually have this besides Ithaca? Do you know of any?
Yes, yes. I will have to look up the number. I think there's only like 18 or so that I've got it in the book here. But there are quite a few.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment or two with Paul and Sarah Edwards, who are going to be talking about their book, and we'll introduce you to it.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget, and more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. It's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Paul and Sarah Edwards, and we're talking about the idea of perhaps thinking about changing your life and changing your lifestyle. Now, do you want to talk about the various types of jobs that you feel that people can get? Because I think jobs are going to get increasingly difficult to get. Certainly, they're going to have to be laying off the federal employees. They're going to have to start laying off state and county and city employees, because they... these communities just are not going to have the income that they've had in the past. As income goes down, sales taxes will go down, income taxes will go down, capital gains taxes will go down. Here in California, we're talking about a $4 billion shortfall this year and a $10 billion shortfall next year. So the state's having to make dramatic reductions, and a lot of that's going to be in salaries. People are going to get laid off, and so we're going to see more and more people getting laid off by industry and finances and in the building industry. Certainly the banks are laying off large numbers of people. So where are people going to get their jobs in the future?
We have a lot of ideas for that, and before I go into that, though, Dr. Stan, I want to say that there are 17 U.S. communities at least who have local currencies, and people who wanted to find out where those are and to read more about that, they can find a list of those on www.schumachersociety.org, where they're listed there. So I just wanted to follow up with that. But yes, Paul has done a lot of research and has a lot of good ideas for the kinds of careers that we want to be looking at right now and in the future.
For example, we divide the kinds of careers that we think are going to have staying power into 3 different types. One are basic local services, tutoring is a growth field. As we know, the No Child Left Behind legislation created a large market funding for tutors, but people have been using tutors outside of government programs for a good long time, and we will continue to do that. 4 out of 5 new homes that have been built over the last 10 years have been built within associations, and many of those associations are large enough that they need professional managers. And so there's a demand for and a shortage of people that can manage associations. So if you are managing something in a private sector that's not doing too well, and you can take a course that brings you up to speed in terms of community management, there's an opportunity there. But there are all kinds of communities that are being formed. There are communities made up of senior citizens or established communities like Beacon Hill in Boston that have people stay in their own homes. It's not a change of arrangement, but they've created an association. All these kinds of associations that enable people to live more economically and in some cases more conveniently have a demand for managers and organization, and that's a growing area. Another kind of area are what we call nichable virtual products that can be done from any place, and your customer or whom you serve may be anywhere else. One of the things that we became aware of is that over 100,000 of the customer support, telephone support jobs that were outsourced over across the India and the Philippines now are back in the United States. There are tens of thousands of people who are working from their homes being able to do that. The growing number of senior citizens, in the next 5 years or so, there'll be something like 7 million people over the age of 85, have created a tremendous demand for all kinds of elder services. Everything, if you're in the construction field, remodeling homes so an older person can stay in their own home. There's driving seniors around. There are transition specialists to help people move to smaller homes. There's daily money managers, and the list goes on and on because of these needs. A third kind of service and product are what we call ones for the new economic reality. We can talk more about that, but those have to do with, you know, those high energy bills. Well, there are people that will help you install for you alternative energy systems like solar
Now, but how is the average individual going, for instance, to install solar? You've got to have a certain amount of training. You've got to have a certain amount of capital. You've got to be able to finance yourself until you can build up a business. So is it really easy to do?
Well, it does take some resources if you're going to not get a job in these fields, but if you're going to create your own source of independent income, it will take some resources. And that's one reason that we are so adamant about trying to get this message out for people to start taking steps now and start doing the plans now. People are saying, well, you know, I'm not desperate yet. But, you know, when you get desperate, it's not, you know, not the best time. I mean, you still can do some things, but it's people who are not, you know, when you've got some resources left. And that's one reason that we advise people, if you have a job, definitely keep it. If you have a house that still has benefits in it,
hold that right there, please.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is George Winker Sperry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest, Paul and Sarah Edward. Would you like to tell our listeners if you have a website, if you have a telephone number, how they can get your book?
Oh, yes. Our book's available on Amazon, and it is at bookstores if it hasn't sold out yet. But, of course, it can be ordered by bookstores and online,
as well as you can go to
our website at www.middleclasslifeboat.com, where there's a free sample of the first chapter, as well as it can link right over there to order the book as you find out more about it.
And the title again is?
Middle Class Lifeboat.
Okay, middle class life.
Careers and lifestyles for navigating a changing economy.
All right.
And that's available at other online bookstores as well, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. And, you know, what we've been hearing in the commercial, a number of your commercials, about you've got to take care of yourself, and that is the message of this book.
Oh, yeah, you got some great commercials. And, you know, I want to go back to what you were talking about, but, you know, don't you have a lot of resources? I think need a lot of resources to make these changes. I think it depends on what you decide to do. Yes, if you're going to get into alternative energy installation, there is a training period, there is possibly some costs. However, other things can be quite simple to get into, like a patient championing. There are a lot of elderly people that need help in getting to and from doctors and being there with them at the doctor's office and helping them to explain their circumstances, listening. That doesn't cost much money to be able to do that. If you're handy at home already, helping people with a repair service is something that doesn't take a lot of money to get started. And the same with lifestyles. If you're going to create an off-the-grid lifestyle, yes, it's going to take some money to invest in that. But if you want to do something like caretaking, you don't need to have much any resources at all. In fact, you can sell everything that you have and get yourself a good savings, and then you can be a caretaker for estates, for ranches, for resort homes, all kinds of places where you actually live there and you don't even have any monthly rent or cost for living there, but you're living in lovely places and doing things that you enjoy.
Or tying the tax cut or the rebate that the president talked about today into getting a restart. For example, you might be able to get the training for many of the new kinds of occupations that we're talking about for the $1,600. For example, back into energy, something that most people may not have heard of, but it's building performance analysis, and the training for that would, you know, you could pay for that with the rebate that is looking forward. And as energy costs go up, more and more demand is in place for energy rating and building performance auditing that people need to figure out where the leaks are and what they need to do about them.
Well, in companies in particular, that's a huge way for them to cut their costs, is to be sure that they're keeping their energy costs down.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly think that people should begin thinking about what's going to happen, you know, in the months and years that lie ahead, because I think that with this financial contraction, many, many things are going to change in Americans specifically, because they have intentionally been destroying our manufacturing jobs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So they've, you know, they have been sending our manufacturing jobs overseas without tariffs or some means to equalize, you know, the costs. Why, of course, would you rather produce things in America where you have to hire somebody at $15 an hour plus benefits, or in China where you can hire them for 20 cents an hour without benefits and without all the EPA and OSHA and other restrictions? And of course, this is why our industries are moving overseas. And I think more and more people who are in the manufacturing are just going to lose their jobs.
And, you know, that's where desktop manufacturing, I think, is so important, and being able to bring manufacturing back to our own local communities. You know, you hear about manufacturing being important for jobs, But, you know, it's not only important for job, it's important for survival, because when you look at what kind of jobs do we mostly have in the U.S. now, they're not on the farm where you produce food that everybody needs. They're not in the factory where you produce the things that we need. We're moving information around. We're collecting, we're assembling, we're distributing, we're selling and marketing. They're paper kind of jobs. And that's fine if they're paying good, but that's not so fine if it's costing us more and more and more to get everything we need from someplace else. We've got to bring things back here, and we've got to be able to really strengthen our local communities so that the resources are here inside our own communities.
Well, that's fine, but of course, as long as the agenda is globalism, as long as the agenda really is to transfer America's wealth to other countries, nothing's going to change. Certainly the people who are in charge now are not loyal to America. They believe in this globalist concept. They want to raise living standards in other countries, and the only way they can do that is to lower living standards here.
Well, in middle-class lifeboat, we take the point of view that there's a lot of things that you can do in terms of local. Localism is as important as globalism. And for example, one thing that we've mentioned a little bit earlier is tabletop manufacturing. And already there are some early machines that are out there. In fact, you can even build your own. A Cornell University professor has provided the design. You can assemble your own tabletop manufacturing device for about $2,400 in parts. Essentially, it's a 3D. Think of it as a 3D printer that can create objects such as bottles and watch bands or parts for something that breaks at home or in an automobile. There are all kinds of possibilities that are looming on the horizon that if we get ourselves in gear for them, can help build our local communities and our individual personal economy.
And you know, there are a lot of local communities, and if you start listening and looking around, I think your listeners will start to notice that there are a lot of communities that are saying, wait a minute, we want to start setting our own rules and regulations here inside our community, even inside our state. We want to start taking charge. There's a huge movement going on in this regard just north of you a little ways in California. Do you remember the area, Paul? Their whole community is working on these various kinds of things, and they're challenging some of the laws that prevent local communities from preventing us from taking charge. You know, we have a lot more power in this country than we often feel. You know, we feel like we're helpless and under the shadow of these huge international corporations, but we're really still not. I mean, we still have a lot of power inside our own local communities if we get active and if we start participating. If we wait and sit back and just say, well, you know, somebody out there is going to have to handle this all, there's nothing I can do, we will be in bad shape.
All right, fine. Well, of course, what are they doing in Arcadia?
Well, it's Arcata. And, for example, one of the things that they've done is they've limited the number of franchise restaurants that can be in the community with the idea of encouraging local restaurants to develop. They have challenged a number of different laws that tilt the balance away from locally owned businesses.
Okay, well, that's certainly, I think that's well doing.
I think they have a lot of information about this one. It's called Democracy Now.
Yeah, it's on the web.
It's on the website. You can read about the kind of things they're doing. It's rather exciting, and they're not the only community. They're just the one that we're most familiar with.
Because it's here in California.
All right. Well, certainly I hope that the local communities could become more forceful, but increasingly, why the state mandates things. For instance, we find that the state's even telling you what you've got to put in your drinking water. You can't determine in your local community what you've got to do. The state has mandated that every community here has fluoridated drinking water. And increasingly, you know, the state officials are just going ahead and running roughshod over us common people down here in the communities.
And that's another thing that they're doing up there in Democracy Now. They're challenging a lot of these things in court, where there are jurisdictional conflicts, as to exactly where does the power lie. And even if they end up losing some of these, they're hoping that it'll be increasingly aware to the public that, wait a minute, we're losing our rights and we can't do that. I mean, we are still a democracy.
Well,
and that has something to do with, you know, we're having a presidential election right now, so we should all be challenging the candidates that are running. What are you doing about these things? What are your do you even think of them as important? We need to be cross-examining them, so to speak, to be sure that they know what the issues are and to know where they stand, so that we can vote in leadership that knows what's going on and is not going to be completely beholden to interests that are not ours.
Well, you know, it's the most amazing thing, Sarah. I look around. I don't see any bumper stickers for any of the presidential candidates. I don't see any lawn signs for any of the presidential candidates. Mm-hmm. In fact, I never saw such a bunch of useless turkeys as those running on both political parties. Here, somebody has obviously picked these people for us, and we get a chance to vote for the candidate of their choice. But I don't like any of them. There's no place at all on the ballot we can put in.
I think you can account for that in two ways. I think one is that the emphasis of the campaigns is in the early primary in New Hampshire. They've done an awfully good job of getting the punishment there. And the other thing is that the campaigns are now charging for bumper stickers. You have to buy them. and that's kind of a disincentive for people that are, you know, figuring out how they're going to pay for that next tank of gas.
Well, and look at where they're getting their money from, because people are beholden to the kind of places they're getting their money from. And we want to get this whole issue of campaign finance reform is just vital, because we need some candidates that are not beholden, that are beholden to people, to us, and not beholden to these strong corporate interests.
And yet, of course, that's exactly what's happened. It's the big banks. As you go down the list of who's putting the money up, it's the same people who always put the money up. And, of course, only very little of the money actually comes from the mom-and-pop people across America.
What's interesting, too, Dr. Stan, is that in this last month or so, with Citibank and Merrill Lynch going outside the country and getting tens of billions of dollars in investment from the from governments, Abu Dhabi, Kuwait, not just corporations or wealthy individuals, but actual governments, and how is that going to influence their corporate conduct and what they do in terms of advocating public policy?
Well, I'm very, very concerned that Citigroup may very well, not survive, or may have to be nationalized. I mean, so many of our major financial houses, whether it's Merrill Lynch or Citigroup or Morgan Stanley or Morgan Chase or Bear Stearns or even Goldman Sachs, are going to have some very, very real problems. And I'm not sure if they're going to be able to borrow enough money and sell enough of themselves to other countries to be able to survive, especially when the derivative market begins to come unraveled. But it's going to be fascinating to see it. I think we're in for some very real problems. I think that Bank of America, when they purchased Countrywide, took on a lot of their liabilities, and they may have taken on a lot more than they realize, and even Bank of America could get in some very real problems.
Well, I'm hoping that this will blow over like the savings and loan crisis of, what was it, the 70s. That was real big. It was over $200 billion to swallow that bitter pill. And I'm hope while the dollars are a lot bigger, I'm hoping this is something we'll be able to get over too.
But when he says blow over, I mean, it's not something that's just going to like blow over and we can go back to
right.
to the same old thing. If we are lucky enough for it to not be hugely devastating, we need to proceed ahead and be aware that we are facing all kinds of global competition, loss of jobs, and increasingly rising costs of fossil fuels of all kinds, and we need to start to do something about it, not just say, oh, well, we survived that when it blew over. No. We still have to take action.
And now is the time to write your own Plan B, and that's why we wrote Middle Class Life Vote, is so that people would have the tools assembled in one place, both in terms of what the career possibilities that are going to be around, what the lifestyle options are, and there are a lot of different ways in which people are modifying their lives. What was interesting, as we interviewed people that were pursuing these, whether they were living in an RV or living on a boat or moving to a foreign country, they said they were enjoying it.
Yeah, they're looking forward, not backward. They're not sorry at all. They like their new lives better.
Well, do some of these people left the country?
Yes,
oh, yes.
They did.
Mm-hmm. Right. We have quite a number of Americans that are moving to Costa Rica, Panama, various parts of Mexico, because they can live much more cheaply there. And of course, they still get their Social Security. And in Panama, for example, they're finding that they don't even need health insurance because the medical care is so inexpensive there, but all by U.S.-trained physicians, that they can, they break their leg, they just go in and have it fixed and just pay for it right out of their pocket.
We talked to a number of people who paid less for, like, a broken leg than we pay for the copay when we go see the doctor.
Right.
It's really amazing. Actually, speaking of the dollar and countries, there are a number of places outside the United States where U.S. dollars are the official economy, like in El Salvador and Panama. So your dollars...
you're not losing, yeah.
Yeah, you're not losing because of the devaluation if you were to go to some place in Europe, for example.
All right. Well, it's certainly interesting that a lot of people are considering leaving our country and trying to find other places to live. How many people do you find that are actually changing their occupations and giving up their secure jobs for the idea of trying to come up with an alternative?
Well, I don't know that they're necessarily giving up their jobs. They are building something on the side, or they have already lost their job, and so they're starting something with their severance packages or so forth. But there are definitely, and unfortunately, in downturn times, that's when people tend to want to start something on their own. It's best to do it in up times, but then people think, oh, well, it's so good that they, you know, they don't think about it. We're going to be seeing more of it.
And some of these numbers are kind of elusive. Like, we can give you a rough approximation of the number of people that are living outside the United States, or the number of people living in RVs.
Or starting new businesses,
businesses. But at the same time, some of these statistics don't manage to get out because, for example, the unemployment statistics don't reflect the number of people who have, quote, given up, unquote, on the job market. And so they just disappear from statistical tabulation.
Now, in other words, what you're basically saying is that the federal government's figures for unemployment really are not accurate because many people have just given up and,
mm-hmm.
and tried to move on because
right.
they cannot get a job.
Right, disillusioned workers are not looking any longer, and they're not included in that figure.
They have an official title, disillusioned workers.
Right, and I really think this is a very real problem, is that I sort of question so many of the federal statistics. They tell us, oh, we've got 4 or 4.5% unemployment, but I really believe it's a great deal higher than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't include the 2 or 3% that are disillusioned workers.
Right. Well, anyway, I want to thank you both. Let's one more time go ahead and get the name of the book out there. And
it is Middle Class Lifeboat, Careers and Life Choices for Navigating a Changing Economy. And people can get the table of contents, read a sample chapter on our website, which is www.middleclasslifeboat.com.
Okay, well, thank you both for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine, so
Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border back with the Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central, formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with the Divided Kingdom.
Dan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course this is the time when I've got to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you really think there's a problem and you agree with me that it's really a spiritual problem, but it's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, and that there really are spiritual forces, dark spiritual forces, which are energizing those people who are moving us towards a world government, a world religion, and a world leader. Why, we hope many of you will decide to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and it's as easy as calling 1-800-544-8927, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, why, you'll get our four best tapes or CDs of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us as we reach out across America 5 hours a day to try to educate people about what's really going on. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you might be interested in helping us. We need to restamp a number of our DVD, The Brotherhood of Darkness. And so if you'd be interested in actually getting 25 copies of the Brotherhood of Darkness DVD, why, you'll get it for $99. You can call us, give us your Visa card, and we'll, as soon as we get them stamped out, we'll get them for you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. You'll get 25 copies of the DVD, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and then you can afford to give them away or lend them. If the people don't give them back, you won't be brokenhearted. But a very good way to introduce people to the spiritual forces at work, the fact that there really are satanic organizations out there, and many of them are working at the highest levels of our government. Well, of course, we've been talking this last hour about the financial situation. And if you haven't yet seen my talk on the financial tsunami, you need to get that along with the syllabus. We think it's very important. We also have a book that we put together called The History of Money. It's inexpensive. It's only $3.95 plus shipping, and yet it will give you an overview of the background of what happened in ancient Greece and ancient Rome, and certainly what happened in Venice and Florence and all the other countries that have tried a fiat money system. So if you'd like to, of course, to get that, why, of course,
in your life, Stan.
Okay, and this is Dr. Stan. And so if you'd like to get the items we talked about, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do carry the book. It's entitled The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island. We carry the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. We carry the book, Fiat Money, Inflation in France. And we think all of these are important for you to have so that you'll really be able to understand what's happening financially. So, you know, if you'd like to get these books, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, because we're moving into difficult financial times, and I really fear that most people are going to be wiped out before this is over. They're going to lose their pensions. They're going to lose their savings. They're going to lose really their life savings. And the only thing that can be done is to try to make your preparations now, get out of anything that's denominated in dollars, because it looks like they are going to destroy the dollar. So if you want to reach us, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high resolution full color maps and full color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium.
Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, they're going to be your views this hour, because we're going to have to do an open hour program. Our regularly scheduled guest just canceled out on me. And so, because of illness, of course. So I thought we'd just talk about some of the things that have happened in the past. And then if you'd like to talk about something else, why, you feel quite free to go right ahead with that. But, you know, if you look back through history, there are so many unexplained incidents that have taken place. I mean, how, for instance, can you really understand that after the Russian Revolution back in 1917 and then, of course, 1918, why, there was tremendous starvation in Russia. Of course, the communists were trying to conquer the country. The anti-communists, who controlled the vast majority of the country, didn't want communism. They had the support of the people all across Russia. And yet, of course, when the relief supplies were sent from the United States to Herbert Hoover's commission, the Hoover Commission, 97% of the supplies went to the communists, and 3% of the supplies went to the anti-communists. Now, if you want to verify that, it's covered in my book, and I'll give you the reference to Herbert Hoover's diary, his memoirs, where he tells about how that happened. And 97% of the relief supplies that went to Russia following the First World War, when the people were starving, were sent to the communists and 3% to the anti-communists. Why would that have happened? Why was it that the Allies, specifically the British, did everything they could to undercut the anti-communist movement, the people, the anti-communist armies that were fighting the communists, and certainly General Wrangel headed the Army of the South, and they were defeating the communists. They weren't having any trouble. They had the support of the people. They were collecting taxes. They were able to buy airplanes and to help them. And then, of course, the British came along and destroyed their airplanes and put pressure on General Wrangel to withdraw his army to the Black Sea and evacuate it, with the threat that if he did not do that, they would cut off all of his military supplies and his men would all be slaughtered. And you have to ask yourself why the British, Great Britain, would destroy the anti-communists and allow the communists to come in and take power. And, of course, if you read, in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or referring to a book called The British Agent, you'll find out that the representatives of Great Britain and the Federal Reserve Board, Henry Boyce Thompson, a man named Robbins, was in Moscow along with Bruce Lockhart, who was sent to Moscow by Lord Milner of Great Britain. And they were honored by the communists. They were taken into the very inner sanctum of the communist movement whenever there was a decision to be made. And the question is, why did that happen? And why did powerful and rich Americans, financiers, help the communists and undercut the anti-communists immediately after the Bolshevik Revolution? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Anyone who's ever studied the history of communism, outside of, course, the controlled media, will find out that American financiers, American bankers, American oil men funneled money into Russia and helped maintain the brutal communist regime that was slaughtering its own people. And yet, of course, American financiers, people like Avril Harriman, Armand Hammer, the Rockefellers, the Standard Oil Company, they were all funneling money into Russia to keep the Russian government in power. In fact, our banks were working in concert with their central banks immediately after the Bolshevik Revolution. So why did American corporations and American bankers help the Bolsheviks, who kept saying they were going to destroy capitalism? And that was, of course, the line that they kept using. The American army had sent a number of men into northern Russia, to places I remember called Murmansk, and of course they were stationed at Murmansk, and some of them, of course, were captured by the communists, and nothing was ever done to try to get them back. And of course there were probably several hundred American servicemen who were held by the communists who felt they'd probably be repatriated, but the American government never tried to get them back, and they all died in communist captivity. And the question is, why didn't the United States State Department try to, insist and demand that the American soldiers who had been captured by the communists in the period immediately following the Bolshevik Revolution, that they would send our soldiers back? That really didn't make any sense. And there have been so many things that have gone on that just haven't made sense as far as what was going on, as far as our relationships with Russia is concerned. And for our listeners there on the KKMC, our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, and so we're just going to have open lines. And if you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're just going to talk about some of the strange things that have happened that really defy the imagination. And, of course, if you want to verify anything that I'm saying, we have all the documentation. As far as the American soldiers who were abandoned after the First World War to die in Soviet slave camps, this is covered in something called the Helms Committee report that came out of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee over the name of Jesse Helms, and totally suppressed across America by the controlled media. And we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we've simply been asking the question, why so many things happened? Why are people in the United States were doing everything they could to support the Bolshevik Revolution following in 1917 and 1918? And certainly one of my favorite stories is the one that Colonel House tells, and of course it's in his diary, which I was able to go through at Yale University. Now, it's a very interesting story about Colonel House's diary because it gives you a great deal of information about what happened during that time around the First World War and going up into the Roosevelt administration when Colonel House controlled both President Wilson and President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Colonel House was probably the most influential man in America during those years. And Colonel House, his diary was turned over to the Sterling Library at Yale back in 1922, I believe it was, and it was to be held for 50 years, and then, of course, it could be published. But it wasn't to be published while any of the people he talked about were alive, because he said a lot of nasty things about a lot of people. But 1972, of course, the came and the Yale University intended to have the Colonel House's diary published, but Time's Mirror came in, related to Time magazine. They bought it up with the idea they were going to publish it, and I'm sure that Yale University liked the money they were paid. The only trouble is the manuscript wasn't bought up to be published. It was bought up to be suppressed, and because it was copyrighted, and because Yale University, pardon me, because the Times Mirror had the copyright, nobody could actually copy the diary. Well, of course, I went back there in 1980, and the people at Yale really believed it was going to be released, so they were kind enough to make copies of Colonel House's diary for me, and I have one of the few copies of the diary that exists outside of Yale, and we got most of the important pages. But the reason I believe that they suppressed the information, the Times Mirror suppressed it, is they don't want people to know the truth. And one of the stories that's told there is Colonel House writes that he had had breakfast with Clemenceau. Now, this was immediately following the Russian Revolution. The Russians, communists, were threatening to take over the world. And of course, Clemenceau, the prime minister of France, was very concerned about the communist influence in his country, and he thought that perhaps they should send an army over into Russia to put down the communists. And of course, then the Prime Minister Orlando of Italy felt exactly the same way. I mean, there was a great deal of concern about the communist revolution in Russia among the Western European leaders, and so Colonel House writes in his diary that it had breakfast with Clemenceau and convinced him that there was no way that the West could put down the communists. And then he had lunch with Orlando, and he was convinced Orlando that there was no way that the Italians could put down the communists or the West could put down the communists. And then Colonel House wrote, "But I knew what I told them wasn't true. I knew that a small mercenary unit with a battalion of artillery would be able to put down the communists very readily, but I didn't want Clemenceau and Orlando to know that." Now, we have those pages from his diary. We actually quote them in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and we'll just provide the pages for anybody who wants them. You have to understand that Colonel House was instrumental in ensuring that the communist, the Bolshevik Revolution, would succeed and the people in Russia would be oppressed by this brutal type of regime. And the question is, why? Why would any rational person want to do that? Well, this is an open line program. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you're out across America, give us a call, because, of course, that's what talk radio is all about. And when we don't have a guest, why, we depend upon you to give us a call. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then, of course, if you remember, of course, the, in 1933, President Roosevelt recognized the Bolshevik regime and actually, of course, allowed the communists to begin to get loans from other countries throughout the world. And then, of course, leading up to the Second World War, it was the American corporations who were building the weapons in Germany. 100 American corporations over there were building the weapons of war to rearm Germany in violation of the Treaty of Versailles. And of course, why would American corporations be doing that? We actually have a letter from Ambassador Dodd, the American ambassador to Germany, in 1936, who wrote to Colonel House and said, why are American corporations building up the war-making facilities of Hitler's Germany when nobody wants another war here, and there are no profits to be made because they have exchange controls and the American corporations can't get any money out of Germany? Well, let's go to Elizabeth, who's calling in, and we're simply asking the question, if you follow really the history of the 20th century, you'll find that repeatedly why men in the United States have actually helped our enemies, whether it be the communists, whether it be the Nazis, and of course right today we're financing the terrorists over there in the Middle East and in Palestine, in the Near East. Why would we be doing that? Well, we've got Elizabeth on. Is this Elizabeth Porter?
Yes, it is, Dr.
Hey,
Stan.
It's good to hear from you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth has a radio program there on Genesis. So do you have a question or comment?
Well, I think that all the important background you've been giving us is now culminating in seeing our once free society become a closed police state. And, you know, one of the articles that I'm looking at here was the appeals court rejecting the lawsuit by the British detainees once held at Guantanamo Bay. So what do you think about this? Isn't this something that we are now living in a country that has things like rendition and this Guantanamo Bay?
Well, I think that what we have to understand is that there are people in our government who want a dictatorship, and they've been trying to get this for a long period of time because they have a different worldview, and they believe in the rule by an elite, and that, of course, is why they're collecting dossiers on every American citizen. That is why they've installed in your cell phone, modern, up-to-date cell phone, the ability actually to listen to your conversation even if the cell phone's turned off or be able to track you. This is why under Project Echelon, and anybody who doesn't know about it can get it on the Internet, Echelon, they listen to all of our telephone conversations with a computer. They read all of our emails and faxes by computer, and if there's anything suspicious, they turn it over to a live human being, and that's done by NSA. And all of this talk about, oh my goodness, you know, sometime AT&T allowed the FBI to have wiretaps there without a warrant. This is all simply to confuse people so they will not understand that there are powerful forces that have been working for years to compile information on each of us. They're actually building detention camps. They have actually paid Halliburton $385 million a year to stand by to be ready to build new concentration camps. They have many of the old army bases there to use as concentration camps. Why are they doing that? And if you doubt what I'm saying, look it up on the Internet or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you the article telling about Halliburton. And they get $385 million a year to be prepared at any moment to build these detention camps. And why would they want to do that? And why aren't more people concerned? And not only that, but they're rehabilitating the 10 concentration camps they put the Japanese into after the Second World War, supposedly so there'll be national monuments, so we'll never forget how terrible it was to put American citizens into concentration camps. But the truth of the matter is, these camps are being built not for illegal aliens, but for American citizens. And we know that back in the 1980s, they actually had a plan to round up 21 million blacks and put them into concentration camps. Fortunately, it never came to pass. So I share your concern, Elizabeth, We are moving rapidly towards a police state in the United States.
Yes, and we're trying to get the word out about the North American Union. I know that you've interviewed Dr. Jerome Corsi numerous times, and I believe that Alex Jones is correct when he says we have a small window of time in which we must energize patriots worldwide. And we're very pleased with the items we recently received from Radio Liberty. One of them is Alex Jones' fine DVD, Endgame. I think this eclipses all of his other work, and I think it's very, very important that people order from Radio Liberty. And you didn't pay me to give this commercial either.
Okay, well,
I've got a book from you also that tells about the Bilderbergers, Daniel Estulin. We have not read that yet, but it looks very, very provocative and very, very important.
Well, I think that in addition to that, of course, we have a four-tape set on the Bilderbergers. And then we are carrying Jim Tucker's new book on the Bilderbergers called Bilderberger Diary. And Jim Tucker has been tracking the Bilderbergers for many years. So we have Daniel Estulin's book on the Bilderbergers. We have Jim Tucker's book. We have, of course, the Endgame DVD by Alex Jones. And, of course, we have our four-tape set on the Bilderbergers, so nobody really has as much information as we do, and people have to understand who the Bilderbergers are, why we should be concerned, and they are simply one of these elitist groups of wanted world dictatorship under a ruling elite, and they, of course, are the ruling elite. Anything else, Elizabeth?
Well, really, I think it comes down to how much do we want to keep our freedom?
Amen to that. And I think we're losing our freedom very, very quickly.
And
so I'm going to let you go, but thank you so very much for giving us a call. It's also good to hear from you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thanks.
And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, and we'll be back here in just a moment. Remember, this is Open Lines, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Because America is in real trouble, and our job is to get people educated and understanding there are people in positions of leadership who have no loyalty to America, whose loyalty is this globalist dream, the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. Well, we've got Dave from Illinois on the line. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Dr. Stan. I want to make a comment about this big plan of Bush about the economy.
Sure, go right ahead.
What a joke. I can't believe that guy is so stupid. And Bernanke, these guys are morons. They think this is actually going to work. All they do is add to the deficit. Yeah, it'll give the stores a shot in the arm, but it's pure socialism. I just can't believe how dumb these people are. What they need to do is they need to change policies to bring the jobs back, the factories back. They need to bring industry back, you know. But so I just can't believe these people's stupidity. What do you think?
Oh, I agree with you. I think that, first of all, we should tell our listeners what you're referring to. And, of course, there was a press conference this morning with the president and Ben Bernanke. And the president's solution to this problem is to flood the country with money. After all, there's more money out there. Everybody's going to be happy. And so they want to give, I think, a $800 tax break or check or something. How are they going to get the money to the people? It's about $1,600 a family. They think that the people will spend the money. It'll stimulate the economy, and that's going to be great. How are they going to get that to the people? Do you recall, Dave?
Send checks, I guess.
Send checks. You see, they send checks or give you a tax break on it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they were going to give industries or manufacturing a special rapid write-off so that if they wanted to expand, put in new machinery, instead of having to depreciate the machinery over 10 years, they could probably depreciate half of it the first year, which, of course, is pretty good because that means you're really not paying for it. You're paying for it with after-tax dollars, and that's pretty good. So, and then, of course, they have all sorts of other ideas of the things that they're going to do to stimulate the economy, but you're absolutely right. The things that they're going to do are going to be highly inflationary, and they're not going to solve the problem because the problem is not a question of liquidity. The question is of the solvency of our major institutions and our financial institutions. Many of them are teetering on the edge of just total collapse, and they're not addressing that issue.
Well, also, Dr. Stan, now, if they would accompany, if they were giving just plain tax breaks, if they'd accompanied by a reduced spending, that might help. So, you know, but if they don't reduce government spending, it's going to be totally inflationary. I mean, it's going to be hyperinflationary almost overnight. And of course, it's also going to be totally temporary, and it's not going to solve the problem at all. They need to bring the jobs back. They need to stop giving companies incentives to go overseas. They're not going to do any of that. So it's just going to be a total ruse. It's a total gimmick, total trick. Nothing but a shuffling of the chairs of the Titanic. It's going to be very short-lived, and it's actually going to make it worse, because the longer they hold this recession off, the worse it's going to hit, the more painful it's going to be.
I agree with you totally, and I think that, of course, what they should do is raise interest rates and clamp down on the economy and allow a lot of these major financial institutions to go bankrupt and do away with this massive debt that they've accumulated. But nobody has the courage to do that because, of course, it would be very unpopular, especially in an election year. And, of course, you know, the economy is moving into place number one as far as the concerns of the American people. And rather than do what is right, they're going to do with something that will work temporarily. But as you say, it's only going to complicate matters. Hold off there for just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have Dave has been calling us from Illinois, and he was referring to the press conference this morning where the president talked about, you know, how they're going to give us all $800 or $1,600 a family, how they're going to go ahead and give a special tax breaks to manufacturers so they can expand their manufacturing, and then they can write off their purchase of new machinery and write it off, you know, 50% in the first year, which gives a real incentive to invest. But what they really don't understand is that why would you want to invest in manufacturing in the United States when people can produce so much cheaper overseas because we have no tariffs? And if we had tariffs, of course, we'd bring our manufacturing home. But the leaders of America have no loyalty to this country. Their loyalty is to this globalist dream, the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. And so they're not going to put tariffs on. They're not going to do anything really to change the manufacturing base. And certainly you can give all the write-offs you want to the automotive industry, but they're not going to put in new factories here. And so many of our industries have been intentionally offshored. And I agree with Dave, of course, that the solutions that are being put up by the administration are not addressing the problem. They're treating the financial problem as if it were a liquidity problem, and if we just throw more money at it, it's going to go away. And, of course, we want tax cuts, and we want, to give everybody money. And then we want to continue the same spending. You can't do that. You can't cut taxes and increase spending. It just doesn't work.
Well,
nobody wants to say that, though.
But one more problem. Part of the problem, Dr. Stan, is if they want to give, you know, so-called U.S. manufacturers help to expand, they can expand in China, not here. So
absolutely.
What good does that do us?
Absolutely. In fact, if they give them a tax break on their income tax, they're going to be expanding over in China.
Exactly.
Certainly not here. Anyway, God bless you, Dave.
It just further encourages them to do so.
God bless you, Dave, and thank you so very much.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. We've got Annette calling from West Virginia. So, Annette, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, I do. Good evening. And I'm so glad you're on this time slot, Dr. Monteith. But I have some comments about patriots who don't seem to give any information regarding the circumstances in Hitler's Germany. And what was the quality of life after the Third Reich took over? And I found in my investigations that they prospered. They were brought from a state of destitution to a state of great comfort, and they were forced into war. And even the chief British prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials, who was also the British Attorney General, was amazed. He said, you know, we fought the wrong people. And I have a quote by him that he made in 1984, March 16th, and if you have no objection, I would like to read that quote over the air.
All right.
It's, I'm quoting now, "Step by step, I have arrived at the conviction that the aims of communism in Europe are sinister and fatal. At the Nuremberg trials, I, together with my Russian colleague, condemned Nazi aggression and terror. I believe now that Hitler and the German people did not want war. But we, meaning England, declared war on Germany, intent on destroying it." And as a matter of fact, I'm separating my comment here. They did. Britain did bomb England, rather Germany first.
Are you, though, suggesting that the Nazis were really good people?
I'm suggesting that they wanted to fight communism, and that the in the first place, the word Nazi means chief, and it's the root word for nationalism. And the whole structure was planned in the 1800s. Albert Pike had said August 15th, 1871, that they had to have two world wars and possibly a third in order to consolidate their power. And they knew that Germany had the makeup. And, of course, from my studies, I find that Germany, the seed lines, the major seed lines of Germany, are the tribe of Judah.
I think what you're doing, of course, you're confusing the issue. The thing is, the Nazis were brutal people, but so were the communists. They were both bad. And what most people do not understand is that American financiers like Henry Ford and many of our major banks financed both of them. But thank you so very much for calling.
Well, no, sir, I didn't finish.
Okay, hold that right there, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. You go right ahead, Annette. What else did you want to say?
Well, I want to finish the quote and then comment on your comment, if you don't mind. I think it's very important to clear this issue. He goes on to say, "But we, England, declared war on Germany, intent on destroying it, in accordance with our principle of balance of power, and we were encouraged by the Americans, in parentheses, the Jews, around Roosevelt. We ignored Hitler's pleading not to enter into war. Now we are forced to realize that Hitler was right. He offered us the cooperation of Germany. Instead, since 1945, we have been facing the immense power of the Soviet Empire. I feel ashamed and humiliated to see that the aims we accused Hitler of are being relentlessly pursued now, only under a different label." Now, that's the end of the quote. And my comment here is this, that they knew that they were going to put Germany into that position. They were going to build it up because they wanted this war, because they had to destroy the white race and gradually bring down the DNA of the white race, both in Europe and the United States.
And who had to do this?
Oh, well, that's the Illuminati. And who was the Illuminati but the seed of Cain, a substantial number of which are in Jewry.
I see. Well, I think that what you're doing, of course, is bringing up the old anti-Semitic line that it is the Zionists who are behind everything. I believe it's the Satanists who are behind it.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's certainly, you know, there are an awful lot of wonderful, wonderful Jewish people. But when you begin to bring up this subject, you foster anti-Semitism in that.
Well,
I believe that there's a great deal of truth in what you said. I believe that the British shared a great deal of blame for what happened. I believe, of course, they declared war on Germany after Germany invaded Poland from the west, and then they aligned themselves with the communists who invaded Poland from the east at the same time. You have to understand that All of these forces were evil. I believe that Nazism was inherently evil. I believe communism was inherently evil. And I believe the people who were directing Great Britain at that time were inherently evil.
But they were the same group of people. And
but you see, they were not Jews.
Well,
and if you cannot convince me that Winston Churchill was one of the leaders of this whole thing, was Jewish.
They admit these things themselves.
No, they don't. The Satanists do this to try to throw you off the track and to make you become anti-Semitic. And that, I really disagree with what you're saying, but you have a right to be bigoted if you want to and to hate Jews, but I certainly will not
I do not hate Jews on an individual level. Not on an individual level.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Annette, I'm afraid that what you're doing is preaching anti-Semitism, and I will not allow that on my program. I've let you have your say, but I do not believe, of course, all the problems of the world get around to the Jews or the seed of Cain. Anyway, let's go back. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Annette was making the point that, of course, the German people prospered when Adolf Hitler came to power, and that's absolutely right. Adolf Hitler gave them pride. They had felt very, very put down, very, very angry about what had happened after the Versailles Treaty, which was totally unfair toward the German people. And of course, as he went into full military production for war and began to build, you know, the weapons of war, there were all sorts of jobs. And of course, the German people did very, very well. And initially, of course, what most people do not understand is that it was the British who encouraged Adolf Hitler to take this Alsace-Lorraine and then to move into Austria and then to move into the Sudetenland, which was northern Czechoslovakia. This story is very well told in a book called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time by Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor. And he makes it very, very clear that it was the British at every turn who were encouraging Adolf Hitler. In fact, at one point he points out that we hear about Chamberlain and appeasement and peace in our time, but of course that Chamberlain had told Hitler, well, I had to tell the British people something, so I told them peace in our time. But what happened was, of course, then when Germany invaded Poland from the west, this gave the British a chance to start World War II, which is what they really wanted. There's a long-range plan to have a series of wars, the First World War, the Second World War, and the coming war, the coming Third World War, and we'll be talking more about that in the near future. So the Russians invaded Germany from the east, invaded Poland from the east. The Nazis invaded Poland from the west on just about the same day, and Great Britain and France only went to war with Germany, and they allied themselves with the communists, and that really doesn't make sense. Unless you understand that very little going on in the world makes sense, unless you understand that there really are forces at work behind the scenes. And, you know, if you begin getting into this, you realize, of course, that there's a spiritual component. There really are organizations that work behind the scenes that plot the wars and then plunge us into them and get us into them for reasons that we never understand. I don't think the average individual understands why we went into war with Afghanistan. After all, didn't we supposedly go in there to capture Osama bin Laden? So why are we still fighting there? Oh, it's the wicked Taliban. We're trying to put down the Taliban. Well, but remember, we financed the Taliban, and of course we financed the Pakistanis, who financed both Al-Qaeda and the Pakistan, and both Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, and we're still funding the Pakistanis today. Why would we be funding the people who are funding the Taliban, who are killing our boys in Afghanistan? That really doesn't make sense. And then, of course, we went into Iraq because we wanted to protect ourselves from those weapons of mass destruction that Saddam Hussein had. And then, of course, when we went in there, we wanted to get rid of Saddam Hussein because he was an evil guy. And so why are we still there? Well, they tell us things are getting better over there. And in Iraq, you know, there's a lot less violence The civil strife between the Sunnis and the Shias has pretty well let up, and of course we've hired a lot of the Sunnis. Of course, a lot of these were the people we fired immediately when we got in there. In fact, Iraq was a stable country once we'd taken it over. It still had the complete structure. I mean, it had everything it needed for a society, and certainly Saddam Hussein was in hiding. So what happened? You know, of course, the American military wanted to use the Iraqi police force and the Iraqi army to maintain the structure of society, but they sent Paul Bremer over from the Council on Foreign Relations, his associate of Henry Kissinger, and his job is to create chaos over in Iraq. So what does he do? Well, he dissolves the Iraqi army. He dissolves the Iraqi police force. He dissolves the Iraqi civil service so that there's no electricity or water or sewage. He closes down the factories there with employ 100 or 200,000 people so that there are no jobs and there's no way to make a living to finance your family. He closes down the hospitals because some of the doctors may have been members of the Ba'athist Party. He closes the schools because some of the teachers may have been actually members of the Ba'athist Party. And he creates total chaos. I mean, what do you think would happen if that happened in the United States? You'd have total chaos, and that's what they wanted, because they had to have chaos if they were going to justify staying there. And where is the outcry from the American people saying, why did you do these things? I mean, and now, of course, we've killed, we don't know whether it's 600,000 Iraqis or 1.5 million Iraqis. Nobody knows, nobody's counting, nobody really cares. Where is the outcry from the American people about being plunged into another no-win war? And this is a no-win war. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Now, how can I say Iraq is a no-win war? Why? Because Major General Ricardo Sanchez, who was the American commander of the coalition forces from June of 2003 to June of 2004, said that, in essence, when he gave a talk on the 12th of October of last year to a group of reporters and editors, military reporters and editors, and this is going to be the substance of my December newsletter, and we've simply taken his speech, which nobody ever has seen. We got it down off the internet. It was very, very hard to find. It took me about an hour of research to find it, and then the way it was written up, it was almost impossible to read, but we've actually put that into our newsletter so you can see what General Sanchez is saying. And he's saying the American military is not allowed to win the war, and we're still not allowed to win the war. But you're not hearing that from our leaders. But remember, Korea was a no-win war. We weren't allowed to win that war. In fact, during the war, why the United States Navy, and you can check what I'm saying in MacArthur's reminiscences. If you haven't read MacArthur's reminiscences, buy one off of Amazon and read it through, and you'll find that General MacArthur talks about how the Navy put the 7th Fleet between Formosa, which of course is today Taiwan, and the Chinese mainland, to protect the Chinese mainland so General Chiang Kai-shek's troops, which were fairly well armed, could not invade the mainland. And, of course, that released two massive Chinese armies, which were then, of course, sent up into Manchuria so they could come down into North Korea to kill our men. Why would we have done that? And how did the communists know that you know, the Navy wouldn't remove the 7th Fleet and leave their coast unprotected so they could be invaded? Lots of things are going on that just don't make sense. Well, we've got Lori calling from Birmingham, Alabama, but if my producer would mind putting her through, and again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But there are so many things that happened that are unexplained. Communism is evil. The Nazis were evil. But the people in Great Britain and the people in the United States who fomented the Second World War and prolonged the Second World War intentionally, and I will tell you it could have ended in 1943 because I personally spent several weekends with General Wedemeyer, who was in charge of U.S. planning, military planning, four-star general, and he told me we could have ended the war in 1943. He wasn't allowed to. Well, let's go to Lori. Hi, Lori. How are you doing?
Hi. God bless you, sir. Thanks for the work you're doing.
Well, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. What do you think, who do you think the players are going to be involved? What do you think is going to trigger World War III?
Well, I believe right now we are sending material to build nuclear bombs to Pakistan, and I believe it's probably going to start with a war with the Muslim world, triggered off perhaps even by our the fact that George Bush wants to attack Iran. He's looking for an excuse to attack Iran, but that's going to plunge us into a war with Iran, and of course that will lead then to the overthrow of the government in Pakistan. Then the radical jihadists will have nuclear weapons, and so they'll probably try to attack Israel, and we'll attack them, and then the Russians and the Chinese will come in, and I don't know how soon it's going to happen, but I believe that the Third World War is coming. And looking at this politically is very obvious. You see, they've concealed from the American people the fact that our government has intentionally disseminating nuclear material throughout the world so other countries can build nuclear bombs, which really doesn't make sense. The government denies it, but that's the subject of our January newsletter, and the fact that the evidence is there that we have been disseminating this nuclear material, but we can't tell the American people that once again we are arming our enemies, just exactly as I gave the example of how we allowed the Chinese communists to know that that they could safely move their armies off of the mainland in China to bring them up and to Korea to kill our people, as we armed Adolf Hitler before the Second World War, as we sent supplies to Ho Chi Minh in 1945, massive supplies in preparation for the coming Vietnam War, certainly as we have, you know, during the Vietnam War, why we were giving money and supplies to Russia that was providing the weapons to the North Vietnamese, were flying the Viet Cong, were killing our boys. We always arm our enemies, and we're doing it now. And
that's
so it's pretty obvious
during
to
his years.
It's pretty obvious to me it's only a matter of time before we're involved in a nuclear war, but if you look at it from a spiritual point of view, I believe God is going to bring judgment on this country.
Well, yeah, I've already gotten, that's what I've been doing since. I did Keep Standing for the Truth, my radio program, a couple of years ago on shortwave, and kind of went into a form of captivity and was, they tried to pull a number on me and set me up, and so since May of 06, I've just been reading the word, hanging on to God, cleaving to him for dear life to get me through this trial that I've been through, that he's, you know, fed me hidden manna from the word, and we're looking at the day of vengeance of our God.
I agree with you totally, and what we, the only thing that's going to save us is going to be a great revival, and I don't see any leaders out there leading it.
No, definitely not. It's just the remnant, sir. It's made up of true Bible-believing patriots and Bible-believing Christians that are, you know, contending for the faith which was once delivered to the saints.
Amen to that. Well, we're just going to have to...
People in darkness. Have you noticed how what Clinton did during his last term, the last year of his term, he went over there to talk peace, or he had them come to Camp David, and he brought up the situation about peace in the Middle East. Have you noticed how Bush is doing that again during his last year?
Well, of course, you're talking about the Oslo Accord, which, of course, they tried to get through there. And, of course, that was another total disaster. Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think that the Third World War is going to be triggered off somehow. Israel is going to be involved.
That's what I was thinking, you know, with them going over there to, you know, try to talk peace and saying it was urgent and stuff, just from whatever you could glean from newspaper articles.
But
you're a wealth of information. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, and thank you so much for calling, Lori.
Okay, you be blessed. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or a comment, nobody likes to think about World War III coming, but I have no question that it is. And why would we be actually sending nuclear technology and nuclear supplies to Pakistan? And that'll be the subject of my January newsletter. And, of course, it'll be available probably in about, a month. And it'll be up posted on our Internet site. If you haven't read my December letter, why, it'll be going out here probably in about 10 days. And so we're trying to get caught up. As you know, we had a little illness there, and we were slowed down, but we're gradually getting caught up. And I think the December newsletter, the speech that was given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, is so vitally important for people to understand that the military has not been allowed to win in Vietnam, pardon me, in was not allowed to win in Vietnam. It was not allowed to win in Korea. And it's not being allowed to win in Iraq or Afghanistan today. I mean, remember, of course, that the Taliban could not continue operating if they weren't operating out of Pakistan, and we're funding Pakistan and keeping the government there in power. Why are we doing that? Well, they can always give you all sorts of excuses, but none of them are legitimate. And, of course, my fear is, of course, that we are going to keep our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. And what the average American does not understand is that there are powerful spiritual forces working in the background that want to use the financial and military power of the United States to bring about this one world government and the one world religion, which will be ruled by the Antichrist. And it's only a matter of time before this comes along. When you read the writings of the people on the other side, and there is another side, and you can go to their websites and the New Age websites and the Alice Bailey websites, but probably one of the best sources is LuciusTrust.org. LuciusTrust.org, and read what they're talking about. Of course, they pulled down a lot of their material since we've been talking about it and quoting it, but we have hard copies of so much of the material. But here's the Luciferian organization. It used to be the Lucius Trust. And what most Christians do not understand, and which their leaders are never telling them, is that there are millions of people in the United States and throughout the world who worship another god, and that god is Lucifer. And they are really, of course, continuation of the Gnostic heresies, which, of course, was a continuation of the Kabbalah, which was a continuation of the ancient mystery religions, and their beliefs that there was another god, and that was, of course, Lucifer. And if you put yourself into communion with him, in connection with him, and pray to him, he would reward you richly, and you would have supernatural power. And this is, of course, the source of power of the witch doctors, the source of power of the shamans, the source of power of the ancient prophets and priests. And I'm not speaking of the Christian or God's prophets. I'm speaking about the prophets on the other side, the prophets and priests of Baal, you remember, who, of course, got into a shouting match with Ezekiel. But be that as it may, I mean, these people really do worship Lucifer. And until you understand that, you can't understand so much of what's going on today. They may even talk about the Christ and how wonderful the Christ is, but they're talking about a different Jesus Christ. And, of course, they believe that all of the great masters, whether it be Buddha or Herr Krishna, or certainly the Mahdi, the Muslim Messiah, or certainly the Jewish Messiah, or the Christ, they're all the same. Well, they're not all the same. And, of course, they believe that their leader is going to come and take control of the world. And the reason that they're using our military and financial power is so that they will be able to prepare this for this new world leader who's coming. And they believe he's here. He's just waiting to be be enthroned. And he will, of course, be enthroned eventually in Jerusalem. They know exactly what they're doing. They have a different worldview because they worship a different god. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were talking about the world leader. And certainly, those of you who have not seen yet the DVD of the talk that Constance Cumby gave, we have it available at Radio Liberty. And, of course, Constance really was way ahead of a lot of the rest of us. She got started in this back about 1980. And, of course, she eventually wrote a book called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, which did have a profound impact on the Christian thought here in this country and introduced us to the New Age. But, of course, behind this whole New Age movement are powerful spiritual forces, and their ultimate goal is to bring Lucifer into a position of power in the world. And if you haven't, of course, read the book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, you can probably get it off the Internet. It is out of print at the present time. However, we do have a wonderful four-tape set of my interviews with Constance Cumby, which pretty well lays out the whole story. So if you'd like to get that, of course, it's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, really to consolidate this whole thing and to put it into proper perspective, why we have Constance Cumby give us a talk at our conference about 2 years ago, and it is called The Emergence. And you must understand that the people on the other side, and there literally are millions of them out there, are waiting for their Messiah to come. And, of course, their Messiah is the Antichrist, who is deeply, intimately involved with the with Lucifer. In fact, there is a trinity of evil. There's Lucifer, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, just as we have in Christianity the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Why, of course, we have Lucifer, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. In fact, everything about the people on the other side is a mirror image of Christianity. They've actually written the Earth Charter, which is the new Ten Commandments for the world. Where do they put the new Ten Commandments for the world? In the Ark of Hope, which is a Luciferian counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. And, of course, as you begin to study the other sides, you find that everything is a mirror image of Christianity. Everything, of course, is aimed at destroying Christianity, and there's an intense hatred of Christianity today, which is why we cannot mention God in our schools, why we cannot have a nativity scene on public property, why public display of the cross is criticized, and why the mention of Jesus Christ in school would be far more acceptable than terrible would be. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, as you know, we have almost 60 outlets every week, but it's an expensive proposition, so if you're listening and you'd like to help us, our number is 1-800-544-8927, and for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month, you can get our four best tapes of the month, you can get our monthly newsletters, but more than that, of course, why you can help us get the truth out across America about the very real spiritual forces that are working behind the scenes, intent upon destroying what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. And, of course, certainly, we hope that many of you out there will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, where you can see our DVDs. We have them posted there. They're there to watch for nothing. You can certainly see and listen to our radio programs, which are posted there. They're archived. They're on MP3. You can hear them live 4 hours a day, actually 9 hours a day of our stream. And, of course, there are no charge for that. You can read our newsletters, which are there. Now, we do hope, of course, that you'll decide you're going to be able to help us. But if you can't, and some people really can't, and I fear that as time goes by, more and more people are going to have financial problems. But you are certainly welcome to pull down anything we have and to copy it. As long as you're not selling the product, we encourage you to copy our material and get it out. Because our real job is to get people to understand what is going on behind the scenes, that nothing is that it appears to be, that the media is controlled, that our reality is being manipulated, that five mega corporations control the major media in the United States. And until you understand that they control 90 to 95% of the major media, you can't understand what's going on. Some of them pretend to be conservative. They're not conservative. Some of them pretend to be liberal. They're not liberal. They all represent the interests of these people who are moving us towards a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world leader. As you hear the debates on television by the presidential candidates, nobody talks about the North American Union, the plan to take away the sovereignty of our nation. Nobody talks about globalism or the fact that they have done away with tariffs so that they could destroy the middle class in America, transfer our manufacturing elsewhere, and gradually grind down the living standards of our people and and of course, by one means or another, raising the price of energy, of electricity, of oil, of heating oil. And, of course, pretty soon we'll be as cold as the people are over in Eastern Europe. And, of course, they're in the process now of destroying the value of our currency. If you have not yet, of course, heard my talk on the financial tsunami or gotten the syllabus, you need to get that. That's the financial tsunami. And then, of course, we have an excellent little pamphlet we put together on the history of money. You need to understand that there is an organized effort to impoverish our people, and you may need to take action now to protect yourself, your pension, your family, and your future. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get my talk on Iraq, the untold story, and the syllabus that goes with that, because we explained that we're not in Iraq. Because of oil, we're not in Iraq. Because of Israel, we're not in Iraq. Because of Saddam Hussein, we're not in Iraq because we were trying to protect the value of the dollar. We're in Iraq because the major force behind our government is this desire for a world government. And we intend to keep our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. And, of course, very, very soon, they're going to plunge us into a World War III. And why would they do that? Because out of the suffering that comes from war, the American people will be willing to accept this idea of a world government. That's what happened in Europe after the First World War and the Second World War, but of course, individually, we weren't involved. I fear, though, that there's going to be terrible suffering.